Boys were learning in Eretz Yisrael, and it happened to be that many of their parents were also there visiting. And what he said was, he said, I'm looking at this crowd, I'm looking at all the people who have visited Eretz Yisrael since the terrible events of Simchas Torah. And I'm thinking to myself, hundreds of thousands of Jews have come to Eretz Yisrael since October 7th. How many Ukrainians have gone to Ukraine in the past couple of years since they had a war? I don't know many. So he said, it's got to be that we are, and this was his words, not mine, we are insane. We are insane. We go, we run to a war. I was in Israel for Yontif. I felt badly that I had to leave. I was there a couple of weeks ago for a simcha. I felt badly that I had to leave. And I've heard this from many, many people who feel a real achrayus to be mishtatef in the tzara in Klal Yisrael. So Rav Asher Weiss said, so how do we explain this? He says, the only one way to explain it is that we are all family. Person, if someone in your sick is sick, you run to them, you don't run from them. They're in danger, you run to it. We are family. When this shul started, very few people who are here in this room this evening, a couple are here, I see, we started with 12 balabatim who were unhappy with the situation in the shul that we had been davening in, without going into detail, and we decided, it's 12 of us, it's enough to make a minyan, even if somebody goes away for Shabbos once, and we can make a minyan. And we had that minyan, and it floated from house to house. Everybody volunteered their house. We moved the siddur, we moved the mushroom, we moved the Sefer Torah. And then someone showed up, really thanks to, I don't see him, who's here, Yitzchak Kaff, brought Rabbi Chil one Shabbos. They give a shir before Mincha on Shabbos. And I can only speak for myself, I loved him. He was a very special person. He took a very serious interest in the shul. And eventually he became the Rav. He lived in Muncie, and he walked every Shabbos day, and he was there, and he was there for us. And he was there for us in the good. We had some tragic events that happened to us, happened to some specific people within the shul in the early years of the shul. And he was there, and he took care of us, and we took care of him. And it was a very special feeling of family. So I want to tell you all here who were not here when this happened, that there was a real family feeling within the shul. So that's why when Rav Chil was niftar a couple of weeks ago, I felt that it was only appropriate that the shul in which he was the founding Rav should have an event in his honor and his memory. In fact, I don't know if you noticed, is that there's been a plaque sitting at the entrance to the shul right past the door on the left, honoring him. And I will tell you that until he was Nifter, the Mishabeach that's made every Shabbos for every person who gets an Aliyah names Al Murad and Asra and Rabbi Chil. So he has been a part of the shul. Many people here don't know the history. Someday I'll actually tell people if you want to hear. In any event, I want to thank Rabbi Shabbos for helping me to put this together. I also want to thank the Chil family who are here and who some of whom will speak. I want to introduce the Morad Asra, Rav Chaim Shabbos, to say a few words.
This is especially to speak about Chris Yantzelov. Question of the question of Shnozak. Says the Gemara in Chulin speaks about the Pinchas Ben Yair. You have to cross the Nahar Kinoi, and you split it once, twice, three times. And the Pashim Shnozak, who makes such a big to do about Kriyas Yamsov, did it three times. The Pashim say, and the whole world is based on the Torah. If Chachamim have an ability to be makadam in a Torah, to change the blueprint, so Kamachayim, they're able to change the actual real also. And therefore, since after Matan Torah, we have the Torah, so therefore we have that Kayach, the big to-do about Moshe Rabbeinu's Kriyas Yam, so to speak, before Matan Torah. We didn't yet have that Kayach, and therefore, in Ochanan, he wasn't able to do that. Just thinking, it's not just a word, there's a Hanhaga, we have a Chiyuv to imitate the Midas of the Rebbeinu Shalom. How do we emulate this Midah of Yistakel Be'iraisa Bara'am? Thinking about Reb Michal, I really think that he really lived this Yistakel Be'iraisa Bara'am. What pushed him, his beautiful Ahavas HaTorah, his Ahavas Yisrael, was all based on an unbelievable drive that he had. They connected himself with Torah so deeply, so maybe that produced an unbelievable Ahavas HaTorah and an unbelievable Ahavas Yisrael. That the truth is that we all, I think every single person who's here, was touched somehow about either his Ahavas HaTorah or his Ahavas Yisrael. Everyone knows legendary the care that he took, all the girls who were not able to get into schools, boys who were not able to get into schools, but the truth, it doesn't just stop there. Many, many times we had interactions with him, worrying about this Eitzah, that Eitzah, what are we going to do? And I always took it to heart. Him together with his Eishes Chayim, they took very, very much to heart to see what they could do to carry the burden of Klal Yisrael, because an unbelievable Ahavas Yisrael that they had, and that's a good struggle. I know that I came to the show after it was established, after it was had its foundations. And it's not, Michal was not just the founding row. I found a group of Balabatim who wanted to grow, who had Ahavas HaTorah, which was instilled already into them, which made it much, much easier for me to do the work. Not only that, I would go and speak over with Michal about how can we better serve the show, about this one, about that one. He would bring himself up about the different ways of how to make my job easier. Caring for the people who were very close to him, and caring to be able to help just an individual getting into Rabbanus, totally fresh. And I had an unbelievable Ahavas HaTorah to him, and I felt very, very close, a deep, deep love towards Michal, and we're definitely going to miss him. There's his Alhassan, his main association for the whole family, for his Rebbe and for Klal Yisrael, and this that he cared and he showed us an unbelievable drive towards his Ahavas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ahavas HaTorah, Ahavas Yisrael, is something that I think leaves us a vacuum, and we all have a chiyuv to take on some of those hanhagas, Beis Hashem, who will be the Lishmasai, and Beis Hashem should be Baruch Hashem Kingdom El Kaponim, we shouldn't know any more of Tzad, Beis Hashem should only come together with Simchas and Yishuvos.
This time I'd like to ask Yitzhak Schwartz, who's a Magid Shir and Yeshiva Ohel Torah, say a couple of words. I understand he's a neighbor and a chaver. That's what I told. Foydemar the Ashra, Khoshbichul Mishpacha, Maranam Rabbanam Rabbaisai. It's not easy to get up here and say Divrei Zichroinus, but our dear Chover Rav Michal, the Chatzadik Livracha. Very difficult to speak about him in the past tense. He was so Molei Chiyus, he was so Molei energy. He was so Molei Frischkeit that to think that he's no longer with us is just, it's not Oyla Alasei. Very difficult to picture he's not with us. Rabbi Kotel Zatzal used to say over Rabbi Yisrael Salanter when he first saw a locomotive with a train. What was his reaction? His reaction was, Ein Heser Schlept Mitzir 20 Kalte. One hot engine full of steam
schleps along with it 20 cold ones. And I believe that this bird tightens up Rav Mechel. Rav Mechel was so full of energy. He had so many great she'ifas, so many aspirations. He felt that his tachlis in life is not only his own personal steiging, but it was the steiging of others and to help others in chesed, that he schlepped along with him all those that were around him. He was mashpia on them. Zman Kriya Shema, we know, Torah says, B'shach b'cho v'kumecha. This is Zman Shechiva, this is Zman Kima. Ne'emes ha'ikorin, Shema b'shachris, there's different shitas in the Gemara, in Mishnayis. The Gemara says, a lashon of Mishiyakaris chadeiroi b'richu dalar amas. And that is brought down with halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, when it's light enough to be able to recognize your friend from within dalar amas away. I want you to remember the Kibshak. Kriya Shema is Kabbalah's Om Malchus Shemayim. Our Kabbalah's Om Malchus Shemayim is not just the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has to be that you're able to see your friend as well. You have to be able to take in your friend's needs and to care about him. That's the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So together with the Om Malchus Shemayim, there has to be the recognition of your friend. Last week's parasha, it says by the Choshech, Le'rov ish es rochiv, le'komu ish mitachtov. Zot de'ele yechidush yorim. The worst Choshech is, Le'rov ish es rochiv. If a person does not see the needs of his friend, then le'komu ish mitachtov, then the person does not have a chance of his own personal aliyah. Uv'kumecha, the getting up in the morning, getting up and having aliyah, having your own ruchnizdik aliyah, and your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is also represented by the way you handle with your friend and how much you're makir your friend. Rav Mechel Ki Yaduo was a masmid gadol. He never left the yeshiva. He always used to say over from his rabbeim, Rav Hutna Zatzal, Chaim Shmulev Zatzal, Rav Nachman Zatzal, Lahavu Ben Chaim, Lachaim, Rav Yitzchak Soloveitchik. He never left the yeshiva. He was always learning, he was always growing, he always had a geshmak at heart. Whenever I walked into his house, there was always svarim opened up. And either Giza, he was so involved in chesed, it's no boy, the chesed that he did, he was a human dynamo of chesed. And it's a very yadua, that one that's in front of his gemara, and he wants to steig, he finds it very hard to leave that gemara. To rip him away from the gemara, it's painful for him to leave. And on the other side, someone that's not in front of his Gemara, it's not so easy to get back to the Gemara. By Rav Mechel, we had a Pella. We knew that he learned a lot. We knew that he kept Zdorim, he had a Chabur, he was in Kayil, he was learning all different hours of the day. Neither of us, we wonder, so when does he have time to do the Chesed? We also knew about the Gemara, the Chesed that he did. So we wondered, so when does he have time to learn? This was the Pella. And the answer to that is, if somebody is Oyed Hashem Lishma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has ways of broadening his time, of giving him a piece of Haderach, it's Efshel Kaim Shneim. Rav Mechel was a rare individual that was able to steig so much in learning, and at the same time he was able to steig in helping other people as well. I want to say a little bit of what it meant to be a neighbor of his. We were Shechenim, blessed Shechenim for 29 years. I remember when we first came to Muncie, came from Cleveland, lived in Wycliffe, Ohio, small yeshiva community, it was a close-knit community. So coming out east and coming into a whole new domain, new people we didn't know, not many acquaintances here. Of course, there's the regular worry, are we going to make friends, are we going to fit in? The night we arrived, we came pretty late, the night we arrived, it didn't take 5 minutes. We were invited to eat supper by the children's bracha. It didn't take 5 minutes. We knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu guided us to the right place. It was Mamash Hashiruch Min HaShemayim. What wonderful neighbors they were over the years. We gained so much from them. First year, we go back to Cleveland every year for camp. First year, we came back. So we arrived very late at night. You can imagine what it's like, a van full of cranky kids that are bickering and fighting and so on. And finally we arrived, and where are we going to eat a meal? We didn't have to wait long. There was a hot meal waiting for us, lovingly prepared by the children's father. Those were our neighbors. So many times that we were zeichet from Rav Mechel and his ganzer mishpacha because the parents instilled in the mishpacha that inyan of chesed. I felt for many years that I had my own personal rav next door. I can go and ask him any shayla. I had to ask him eitzes. He was a gevaldig yoyz, gave meridike eitzes. Everybody is nervous when it comes to shiduchim for their children. And especially if it's in the gay of the first shidduch, you know, you really don't know what you're doing and you feel helpless. I remember we had a shy where there was a certain hatzah of a shidduch for us, and very nice, we were very good things about the boy. The only problem was that the family was not a family of means, and we certainly were not a family of means, and we were wondering, they wanted to be in Kailul, how exactly is this going to come about? So I asked Ramel, what do we do? So Ramel said, Chlor. He says, if it's a giving family, if it's a family that gives, if it's a good-hearted family, then you have nothing to worry about when things will work out. I listened to his aides, one of the best decisions I ever made. Baruch Hashem, we were zeichet, the siddich came through. Baruch Hashem, many years later, they're still sitting and learning in Kailul. And Ramel spoke out of experience, because he was a giving person. The richest person is a person that's willing to give. People can have a lot of money, but if they're not willing to give, they're not giving people, that's not called hashivus. By Rav Mechel and his mishpacha, they were mega wealth. Why? Because they were in the tears of giving. Sam Sofer says, I'm ready to give art. Ochen yesh Hashem ba'mokem hazeh v'onoichi lo yodati. When it comes to Kiddush and Shemayim, when it comes to being Oyed Hashem, Yesh Hashem b'mokem hazeh v'anoichi lo yodati. There's no anoichi, there's no me, there's no I, there's no selfishness. A person has to be mevatel himself. He has to subjugate himself to the needs of others. Then there's emes nika avodas Hashem. This is a meridika uptight of Rav Mechel and his rebbetz and his ganzer mishpacha. Can Yesh Hashem b'mokem hazeh, the shechina rested with them. They were totally involved in avodas Hashem v'anoichi. There was no I need, there was no selfishness, there was no self. They ran a camp for many years, Camp Achaya, Camp Leruach. We personally, how much we were nehenna from it, we insisted, our fight with them was we insisted on paying, and they refused to take any pay. And this was like that not only for us because we were neighbors, it was like that for many people. Nachum's Rebbetzin always told my wife, she has no idea how they're going to make it this year. They're going to take a meridika loss. So many people were accepted into camp that are paying half price or less than that. And so many staff members just to be able to get them in that they have to pay all of them. How in the world did they even come even? And the study double was somehow, some way, they were zeichet to siyata d'shmaya. It was the most profitable year. Remechel had a noah every year. I used to give him a bracha. I'd give you a bracha. You should make oodles and oodles of money. I used to laugh. Every single year we had that same comment. But Dami says that's not what he was into it for. There are camps, that there are organizations, that they are profit-making organizations, but they also do chesed. Camp Leruach and Camp Machaya were chesed organizations that maybe they made money. They did it be'ikur for chesed. It was a meiridik hazak. I remember one time, we had to get a refrigerator from Brooklyn, from my parents here to Muncie. So my wife mentioned it once to the Rebbetzin that, you know, if she knows anybody, any service that ships things from Brooklyn to over here. So Mechel overheard, he said, what do you mean? I go to Brooklyn every day, I can bring you your refrigerator. So I'm sure, I can take our refrigerator. He couldn't understand why in the world, if he was coming from Brooklyn to Muncie, why could he not be the one that brings our refrigerator? They had this old blue car, they used to call it the blue tuna fish can, that Ramel used to drive around in. I once made the mistake of hitching a ride with him, and I'm still trying to recover from that ride. He was always in a rush. You know, he had a lot of things to do, he had a lot of things on his mind, whether it was learning, whether it was chassadim, I'm still recovering from that ride. But that blue tuna fish can, they told us, the keys are always in the car. Whenever you want, just take the car. You don't have to ask us. Then they said, well, maybe if you could tell us in advance so we could fit our schedule around it. but it was open. The keys were in the car. Whenever you want, you can take it. This is the kind of chesed that the Seder, the Seder, the Seder, we were zayit. My wife told me that yesterday she was speaking to one of her friends, and the friend told her she just heard that Rabbi Chula's nifter. Wow, it's so terrible, so sad. So my wife said, well, you knew him? You had any shaykhs? She said, no, not especially, but she used to send her daughters to Camp Leruach. Whenever she brought them there, Rabbi Chula was there. He made everybody feel so good. That was his metzias. Metzias, he was annoying and abrius. Made everybody feel good. That's the emes dikir, the epitome of Kiddush Shem Shamayim. It's a Darby Yodu, and it was mentioned already tonight about how he and his Rebbetzin, first Rebbetzin, the Heintiger Rebbetzin, Lahav Ben Chaim L'Chaim, how they were oisik, how they were moiser nefesh, to get children into schools. Whenever it was Megeh, somebody came to us, that they were trying to get their kid into school, the first thing went right next door. And sure enough, Ramechel and his Rebbetzin, they worked on it, and they took it very seriously. They took it seriously enough as if it was mamish, their egin and need. For 20 some odd years, he had an open house, he had a minyan in his house. Friday night there was a minyan, Minchan Shabbos there was a minyan, Motzei Shabbos there was a minyan, and every Friday night he used to learn a limud. Always of Ben Ali, always looking to better himself and to bring Torah into the tzibur. One year it was Ramban al HaTorah, another year it was Sipur al HaTorah, third year it was Ibn Ezra al HaTorah, whatever it was. But this was his metzias to bring Kedusha and to do chesed with all of them, everybody around us. In fact, it's very difficult to speak of Rav Mechel in past tense, but the emes is, it's not really in past tense. He left over a wonderful, wonderful mishpacha. Chazal say, Yaakov Avinu Oimeis. The Gemara asks the question in Tainus, Bechidachidachdi, Sabki Sabdinu, Bechavi Kavrinu, Bechante Chantinu. Zog the Gemara, Mikra Ani Dairish. Altira Abdi Yaakov, don't be afraid, my Eved Yaakov, Altechas Yisrael. Ki Hinani, behold, I will bring your children, I'll bring Meirochai b'zarach mi'eret shivyon, makishu l'zaroi, ma'zaroi b'chayim, afu b'chayim. Ramecha left over a wonderful, wonderful mishpacha, b'nei Torah, emezdik in the sheikhayo, enekuch, b'nei Torah, ismamishu pe'er and ahodar, and they carry on these lessons, and this mahalach ha'chayim that he left for his ganzen mishpacha. He writes him, he should be a melech yosher for all of them, the children, for the Edens, the Shneers, the Einikluch, he be a Melitz Yosher for his wonderful Rebbetzin that was so dedicated to him, that was a Shutif in all of his endeavors, and she worked hard together with him. And at the end of his life, when he was not well, she was so dedicated to keeping him healthy and to helping out. Yerotzen, they should all be Zoycha only to Nachas and to Simcha. We should be zoich to the day of Bila Hamavas Lanetzach L'moch Hashem Dima Me'al Kopan.
Schwartz, thank you very much, because now you introduced,
you segued into the next speaker, that is your chills, son-in-law, Moshe Mueller.
Oh, that's him.
We found him.
I thought he said, just the Nasa Shlita, the Bonham. Last time brings back a lot of good memories. Last time I was here, it was approximately 31 years ago, if my cheshbon is correct. It was end of January, maybe February. The snow was probably, was a lot harder than it is today. And I was a chassan at the time, and my shver tells me, we're going to shul Friday night. I said, okay, say that. Coming from Lakewood, I had like a raincoat on, and it was probably near zero. And actually, it was Shabbos morning, and we're walking. I'm assuming it was at least a couple of miles. By the time I came to shul, I literally couldn't feel my feet. So I'm not being megazin. And this was the Mesiras Nefesh that he had for this island. So brings back some good memories. I feel it's began the Kolamais of Gereya, all the Darshanim talked about the Milas over the last 30 days from Side Espadim in Lakewood and Espadim in Muncie and then the Shleshim. I'll try to bring out just one Nakuda that I think encapsulates really what everyone's feelings are, what everyone is saying. And what we keep on hearing over and over again is like what Rabbi Schwartz said is we all know that his first love was a love of Torah. He was a Meirdik and Masmid, he was a Lamdan. He learned by Gedoyli Yisrael, his Rebbeim. Just looking at his Ksavim, you see the Iyun and the Amelis that he put into Sugyas, and that was his love. But we all know that he was busy with Ksavim and busy with people. And I've been thinking about it a lot to try to just tap onto the Nakuda, and some people have mentioned this already, but I'm going to say it again. When the Rebbeinu Shloilom, the Torah HaKadosh tells us, when the Rebbeinu Shloilom is looking for a manik for Klal Yisrael, for someone that's going to be the Boisa HaTorah, and someone that's going to Shtel Avet, Klal Yisrael, the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was picked for a few different reasons. The Torah says, Vayar B'Siv Loisom. Everyone knows the Rashi Bayar B'Siv Loisom. There's a Medrash, and the Medrash says Ma'al Bayar Bayaroyim B'Siv Loisom Uboicha B'Oimar Chavali Aleichem. And it goes on and says She'ein L'cha B'Locha Pashim Leches Tit. And Moshe Rabbeinu went, and not only did he feel for them, but he went ahead and actually slept. Remember, he was a prince in Paris home. There was no need for him to go, but he went. Not only was Vayar B'Siv Loisom, not only did he feel, he said, I'm ready to die for my brothers. Now that Rabbaran and Mishnah Rabbaran says, there were two Zachin, the two Nakudas. The Nakuda of being Noisim Ba'oil, which is the spitz of Chesed, is both having the feeling that your Tzar is my Tzar, and also doing something L'maisa about it, putting yourself into their Matziv. We see that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah says, we know he leaves, when he runs away from Mitzrayim, he's 20 years old, he comes back, he's 80. There's a gap of 60 years. I'm assuming Moshe Rabbeinu was doing great Avodas, growing in that period of time. But the Torah just tells us a total of maybe three stories. The story of what happened when he saw the Mitzri, what he did to him, what he did with Dosav Avira, what he did with Benois Yisroi. He's butting into every single Zach he sees. He sees Benois Yisroi, a couple of girls being chepit, he jumps into that. He sees Aid, Mitzri chepering, he jumps into that. He sees Tuhidin chepering. He wasn't able to see a matziv of noch a person being hurt and being able to be soivolit. And that really is the spitz of chesed, is true in being nice boil. And that was the mido that Moshe Rabbeinu had. The Torah doesn't tell us about the Asmodo and the Yushamayim and the Spoidedis and everything else that Moshe Rabbeinu had. The Torah tells us also it's Adam Mikol Adam. And that all comes from the Zach, where there's no Zich. My Zich is everyone. It's being nice and boiled from everyone. Rabbi Yeruchim says in the Maimer, I couldn't find over here the Sefer, but Rabbi Yeruchim says in the Maimer, he says that the kol ha'toyre kulos yichid nefoshes, zeh kol ha'toyre kulos, bin yachid nefoshes, is to take, for people to be yachid themselves to other Yidden, to feel their pain, to feel their needs, and to do what they have to do to satisfy that. It was a well-known story. There was a goyin olam, a Polish rebbe, the Oshava rebbe. It was a goyin olam. He was a bal moifis. He was a goyin olam, and he went. It was a gzeir shchita in Poland and in Litva. There was a gzeir shchita. It was 100 years ago. Tafresh Bey Dalit Ber. His name was Amei Yechila Levi, and he went traveled to Litva, which was not an easy trip. He traveled to Litva to meet a Chaim Moizen to try to figure out what they could do to try to be mevatel the gezeira. And Chaim Moizen comes in. Chaim Moizen had heard about him, but he had never really met the rebbes. This is a foreign thing. And they started speaking and learning. And Chaim Moizen went out of his kelim. This person who kol ha'toyre kula, backwards, forwards, every single shach, every single prima godim, from Midrashim, Tosefta, Sifri, everything. And Reb Chaim Moizer went out of his kelim. And Reb Chaim Moizer told him, "Ich hab kelish vorgestellt, as in Poland, this is not as a gavur rabba. As a gavur rabba." So on the spot, the Oshiva tells him, "Das nicht kein gavur rabba." The gavur rabba is restated in Gemara Makis, what the Gemara says, that kavatip shoyim, how many the people are tipshim that they stand up for a sefer Torah, but yet a gavur rabba, which means a talmud chacham, a gavur rabba they don't stand up for. And the Gemara tells us what? Why would you stand up for a gavur rabba? And the Gemara tells us the reason why you stand up for a gavur rabba is because the Torah state arbam yakenu, and we give malchus 40 times to someone, and came along the chacham, came along chazal, came along the talmud chacham, and they took away one of the Malchus, they took away one and made it 39. So Zogt Asher, he says, "I don't understand. That's a Devarim. Why didn't he go already in Shemois? Tisperu Chamishim Yoim. But also, the Chacham also took away one day." Zogt Asher, does a Gavir Rabba is someone that can take away a Makkah from Nochayid. What the Chachamim did to take away a Makkah from Nochayid, does a Gavir Rabba. And my Shver epitomized that. His love was learning Torah. But if he saw another Yid Bitsar, it ripped him apart. It ripped him apart. He couldn't not do something. And that's what we saw. We saw him getting involved with things that people said, "What are you getting involved with this thing for? Was das to das? What do you need it for?" It wasn't a shail of need or not. It was just something that he had to do. He saw another Yid Bitsar. I want to say two stories that probably the Oilam had never heard. And I'm not sure if I should say them over, but I'm going to say them over. I was about to say them over. These are two stories that he told me. I don't remember all the pratim exactly, and I'm going to even shine on one or two pratim for a good reason. Not too long ago, right before he retired, there was a story where, you know, he was a chaplain in the prison, and by that came a lot of responsibility, where he had to deal with, you know, different matzavim of Yidden that ran into some issues. There was a troubled teenager that ran into some issues. Whatever the issue was, he ran into some issues, and he ended up there in prison in Greenhaven. But he had mental issues, and he was very, very paranoid. And part of the paranoia is he didn't want to tell the guards of the prison that he was Jewish. So therefore, they didn't give him kosher food because he was afraid to tell them he was Jewish. They might kill him. So he didn't tell them. He cut off his pay. It's against the Maisa. And he made himself as if he's part of the guy. It was probably pretty funny. He probably didn't even speak English well. But Azayigavim. And my shver tried talking to him many times. It's okay. You'll be protected. A hulu. You should eat. You have to eat. He was losing a tremendous amount of weight. And his parents came crying after 2-3 weeks. His parents came crying to my shver and said, "He's not going to eat. Please take some food for him." And they packed up some food for him, food that he would eat. They asked him to please bring it. My shver told him, "You're not allowed to bring anything in. It's a maximum security prison. It's extremely, extremely, that anything that you bring in that's not from the prison itself is called contraband, and you can't bring it in." A couple days later, Weiter, he was mamish wasting away. And my shver was machit that he knows there's some risk to it, he's going to do it. He went, he took the package, and he decided there's the guard that when you walk in every day, they check you, they put you, even the rabbi, everyone, they get checked. And he goes to the guard that he knew already for probably 20 years. And he tells the guard, listen, I have some food. I'm bringing in some food. Is it okay? I have to bring in some food. And the guard like nods his head. So he walks through. The next thing you know, the anti-Semit goes ahead and reports him that Rabbi Chil brought contraband. He was worried about that. He was worried that might happen. And that caused a lot of problems. I don't want to get into the protest, but it caused a lot of problems for him. So I asked him, I said, Shver, do you have charata that you did it? He says, Chas v'sholem. Chas v'sholem. The Yid was mamish, starving, even though he had some sugar and this and that, and maybe I wasn't mechuyev too. But I felt, I made a cheshbon, I knew what the risks were, and I took it, and I would take it again. And it was not easy. It was very, very not poshut. Another situation, this is a more of a funny situation, but Vaitetz, the same thing. You see what people had, how people felt towards him. This goes back years and years ago. Sometimes what happens is a prisoner takes another prisoner hostage. It happens sometimes. So when they do that, they ring the bells and they have special crews that come and they know how to negotiate, whatever they do. The kids, my shver was once there when this alarm went off, so he went out to see what was going on and he sees John, who he knew, because these people, a lot of them, they wanted better food. So they would come to him, people that were totally goyim, Shvatzah, Chesmas, would come to him, say that they're Jewish, and then they would be part of the kosher program. We had to deal with these people. And they got to know him. So he sees that this person in the face, John, is holding a knife towards another prisoner, and the alarm's going off, and the cops are standing there far away. And my Shvatzah just runs up to him and says, John, what are you doing? What are you doing? He grabs away the knife. So what are you doing? Grab away and go back. He said, yes, Rabbi. And he just walked off. And then, so he got written up for that also. They were very, very angry at him. What are you doing? It's dangerous. It's this. It's that. He said, it's John. This, that. He's going to listen to me. He's not. It was a matzah where he saw something. That was his teva. He saw something. He knew he could deal with it. He knew he could this. And he did it on cheshbonus, on maisis. L'maisa, the last 6 months, with very, very, very shver. Very, very shver. There's a tremendous amount of pain and a tremendous amount of agus nefesh that my shver went through. Never once did he ever, and we were there a lot, never once did he ever complain ever. The pella was that we would ask him, Daddy, are you in pain? And every single time he would say no. His wife would ask him, are you in pain? Are you in pain? Yechi, are you in pain? Michal, are you in pain? No. Then we would hear moaning. He was zichit tremendously. He never once, I don't think, maybe there was one time he said, okay, give me some medicine, but every single time, everything is good. Alice is good. Never once complained. Never once asked about the matzah. Everything, every time he would come in, no matter what, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I thank everyone for doing everything. I thank my wife so much for taking such good care of me. Everything, it's just, I have such good family, I have such good kids, I have such a good wife. Over and over and over again, that's all he would say. And never once, and the types of that is Vaiter, he didn't want to put any, he didn't want to give us any agas nefesh whatsoever. There was absolutely no zich by him. There was no zich. That nevis was noir nerois, he was put through mansovim. Had different jobs and different zach. Never was the best friends with everyone. No one ever had tainus. There was no zich. And by having this no zich, having this midah of being noisa ba'oil, and losing the ganze zich and having nor is part of the greater of Klal Yisrael. That was his essence. Yi zichrei baruch.
Before he was the Rav of Knesset Yisrael, Rabbi Chil was the Rav of Young Israel of Spring Valley. And at this time I'd like to ask the Zev Flamenhaft to speak on behalf of Young Israel.
Vishus, Mardasra, Rabbonim, Kal Kodesh Hazeh, Mishpacha. As was mentioned, I was asked to speak here to give my, you know, memories, my feelings, coming as somebody who grew up with Rabbi Chil as my Rav for the Young Israel. So immediately when I was asked, so many stories came to mind, I thought for myself for a second, obviously I should start with at least one or two stories that I remember of my interactions with Rabbi Chil while, you know, davening in the Young Israel while he was the Rav in the Young Israel. Start there. So I just thought, took some time, thought about it, and nothing was coming to mind. I couldn't remember a story. Now, okay, I'm not so good at remembering stories from my youth. It's a miracle I remember what happened last week. But I was wondering, how come nothing's coming to mind? So I spoke to my father, and I asked my father, how old was I when Rabbi Chil left the Young Israel? I grew up with Rabbi Chil. He was part of my life. How old was Rabbi Chil when he left the Young Israel? How old was I when he left the Young Israel? And we worked it out. I was 6 years old at the time that he left the Young Israel. I was six, which basically gave me a little bit of perspective of why I wasn't remembering so many stories about me, you know, davening in the shul together with Rabbi Chil or hearing many of his drushes and all that. I was 6 years old when he left the shul. But then it really brought it home to me when I thought about that. That really clarified to me and brought out to me what my relationship, the relationship I had with my children was about. The care, the concern, the connection, the relationship that I had with him and he had with me and my siblings and my parents and my family wasn't an outgrowth or an extension a rav of a shul feeling a responsibility to somebody who's davening in the shul. You know, being a rav of a shul means I have to take achrayos, I have to be responsible, I have to be concerned about somebody davening in my shul. It had nothing to do with that. His care and his concern was simply because somebody was part of his sphere, he'd interacted with us, with my family and me, he had a connection with my family and me, and therefore he was cared and concerned from a personal way, having nothing to do with the fact that he wasn't the Rav anymore. That was my connection to him, and that's what we felt, and that's why it continued throughout my entire life. And that connected, came together, as mentioned before, is anivus. It's almost after hearing, is unbelievable, has smod and godless and tired, just thinking about the way I used to talk to him and the way he used to talk to me. Literally a regular conversation. Somebody cared and concerned, and we're going to talk. How are you doing? What's doing? A regular conversation, so you're talking to a regular person. That's the way it was. Throughout all the years. Rav being, when he wasn't the Rav of my shul, but he was the Rav of our family. But it was much more than that. I got to a shar when I was in elementary school. So one year, my first year that I was in school, my mother sent me to a camp. I went to a certain camp, came back after the summer, wasn't really so happy about it. Didn't really enjoy my experience. So came the next year, my mother tried to try and figure out, where are we going to send him? I can't keep home the whole summer, because I don't have anything to do. What are we going to do? So my mother mentions this to Rabbi Chil in context, you know, amidst the conversation. So Rabbi Chil turns to my mother and says, okay, I have a camp. I have a camp, why don't you send it to me? So my mother looks at Rachel, she says, I don't know how many of your clientele in the camp are coming from Ashaf. I don't know if that's the exact fit for, you know, for Zev. So Rachel says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Send him to me. I'll take care of him. He'll have a great time. It'll be great. Don't worry about it. My mother told me, she mentioned it to the principal of Ashar, and he looks at her, he's like, I don't know if Camp Machai is the right place for him. But Rachel, as mentioned before, with his simchas achayim, his exuberance, his love, his care. So he went over to my mother and said, don't worry, just send it to me, it'll be great. So So I said, okay, I'll send him. I walked in over there. Within a few, three days over there, somebody made one comment about something. So my mother goes right over to Rachel and says, Rachel, I want to talk to you. And immediately, with his disarming simcha and smile and laugh, he says, okay, what's the problem? You tell me. So my mother mentioned what happened. He said, don't worry, I will take care of it. Problem solved. Had an enjoyable summer that year and many years, for at least, I don't know, 4 or 5 years going. And as we mentioned before, it's clear to me, and I asked my parents, he wasn't asking me to come because he thought it was going to get him an extra, payment. Simply because he cared, concerned, let me help somebody out, naturally. And that natural feeling. Just, come on, send it to me, I'll take care of it, don't worry about it. And once again, we worked out, I worked out the years of my mother. I'm almost positive, 99% positive, he was not the rav of the shul when that happened, when he asked me to come. He was already not there. But again, it had nothing to do with the rav of a shul with his congregation. It had to do with a person who cared and felt a concern for all the people that he knew and all the people that came in contact with. I remember when I became a chassan, so I had been learning in BMG. I came back after Yom Kippur. So it was the night after Yom Kippur, was Motzi Yom Kippur, the next night. So I went out, and basically, for the end of that, by the end of the night, it was pretty clear that, okay, Baruch Hashem, we're gonna have a L'chaim. So the problem is that you can have a L'chaim, and Sukkot is coming. So you basically have the next night. After that, the night after, it's already Erev Sukkot. So immediately I come back the next morning, late in the next morning, okay, we're having a L'chaim. So immediately all the plans have to happen last minute. Everything's happening last minute. I still remember I was by Yossi Lapidus' house, sitting there trying to find myself an Esrig 2 days before Sukkot, while I'm sitting there on the phone with my mother-in-law trying to make arrangements, and then on the phone with my sister about flowers, trying to make it happen. But everything's happening last minute, everything's happening very quickly. So they said, okay, we're going to make a L'chaim. We'll have a Vartei after Sukkot. It's going to make a L'chaim just for Mishpach. Just going to be for family. In Borough Park in my in-law's house. So who came to the L'chaim? So my wife's family, she has quite a number of siblings, aunts and uncles, they were all there. So for my family, who's going to come? Just the family. Who's going to come? My parents came. I was there. My sisters were there. Rabbi Chilna's Rebbetzin came. The only other people that were there. Why? They called up my parents and they said, L'chaim? Okay. The family has to be there, so we're coming. The family has to be there. We're going to be there. That's family. Because that's the relationship it was. It's a relationship that you felt like they cared and concerned, literally like a family member. You were part of the family together. And they came. And everything was last minute. And it wasn't time to make all the arrangements quickly, so my parents mentioned, I guess they mentioned it to them, somehow got mentioned the fact that, hey, it's normally that you, the chassan gives a bracelet to the kallah by the, by the l'chaim. Okay, we're going to have a bracelet, last minute, we're going to pull it, how are we going to pull it off? No problem, don't worry about it. Tells my parents, you make your arrangements, you go, we'll take care of it. Still remember walking into a side room in my in-law's house, right towards the beginning of l'chaim. They had brought two or three bracelets. The Rebbetzin had gone to the store, picked out two or three bracelets. I'll bring them. You'll choose the one that you want. You give it to your kala. I'll bring back the other two. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. And it was natural. It wasn't, I'll come so you should have someone else be there. I'll come to help you out. We're family. Natural. I care about you. I'm concerned about you. It was a feeling of a family member, a feeling of a grandfather, whether it be a grandfather or a friend, like I said, almost embarrassed to say how we conversed with each other, recognizing and didn't recognize at that point in time because he never gave off that feel. If he was Derish Kavod, I never saw it. Not in any of my relationships with him. Not in any of my interactions with him. And he cared. I remember my mother wasn't well by COVID. Got a phone call from him. How's your mother doing? Zev, please call me. Your father's busy. They're busy. Call me. Keep me updated. Let me know what's going on. You heard the care and concern. How much you wanted to know. How much it made a difference to him. What was going on? Remember, he called my father a number of years ago. 30-something years after I was, after the shul. He calls my father. Zev doesn't have, you know, a clear, stable job yet. It bothers me. We gotta find something for him. We gotta do something for him. 30 years later, he's worrying about me. How am I gonna do my parnasa? When I got my job in YSV a few years ago, my father tells me he called up when he heard about it, how happy he was, how besimcha he was to hear about it, how much he felt and cared. And that's what I always felt. I always knew. Whether day to day, I might not be on the phone with him, but right, chill, hey, you need something, call Rabbi Chill. No hesitation, pick up the phone, speak to him. He's ready to help, he wants to be involved, he cares. That was the relationship that I had with him, that's the relationship my mishpacha had with him. He really was a part of our family. And that was testimony to everything that's been discussed about him. That's the way we felt it, we lived it. That's what we had from him. And that's why we have we personally have a void now that he's not with us. And just to finish up, it's not a void. I was thinking about it. It's not a void just when I have a question that we need to deal with. So call Rabbi Chill, ask him. Whether it's the smallest questions to most serious questions, call Rabbi Chill and ask him. No problem. He'll be ready. He'll be able to help out. Whether it's a question, whether it's a favor, whether it's help, that's also missing. But then the true void that we have is the fact that he himself is just not with us. And he himself was just somebody who was just a part of us and part of everything we were. And everything that everybody spoke about it, we pushed it, lived it. And that's what we've lost. And that's what we're missing. He should be a male teacher because it's pushed. That's what he would want to be. And that's what he would want to do for everybody. For us, for his mishpacha, for everybody involved, for everybody he ever came in contact with. Anybody entered the sphere of influence, should be a solution for them. And he is a chaparach.
Before I introduce the last speaker of the evening, Rosh Hashanah of May, I just want to take 3 minutes to tell a story which really encapsulates the enthusiasm that Rabbi Chill had for everything that was Jewish. Many of you saw the famous letter, that showed up in Amav Aser and in Mishpacha in last week, which talked about Rabbi Chill's experiences when he was in the Mir Yeshiva during the Six-Day War. There's a postscript to that story, which I'm going to tell, which Rabbi Chill told to my family one Friday night when he came to eat by us on Shabbos. And then I got the second half of the story when I went to visit the Shiva house a couple of weeks ago. In the midst of the Six-Day War, the Israeli army captured the old city, the coastal Maravi, and at some point they also had captured the entire West Bank, including Kibbutz Rachel. And although the old city was closed, it was a closed military zone, for some reason Kibbutz Rachel was open. And Rabbi Chill, who was there, as everybody else would have done the same thing, he went to Kibbutz Rachel. And he was able to visit Kibbutz Rachel when he was there. And as he was leaving, he saw that there were a group of journalists, I think he said German journalists, who were being taken by the army to the old city to go see the Western Wall, and et cetera, et cetera. But it was limited to journalists. So as Rabbi Chill said, he had a little camera. And he said, I'm a journalist too. And he got on the convoy with these German journalists. And what happened was they went the way the Israeli army had captured the old city, and they went through Shaar Arayos, which is the Lion's Gate, which is the quickest way to get to onto the Har HaBayis. In fact, if you go through Shaar Arayos on the left, there's a big door, a big steel door. When you open that, you're literally on the Har HaBayis. And you know, he had never been there before. He had no idea where he was going, and he went. And he followed the German journalists, and they went through the corner, end corner of the Har HaBayis, and then they went through the place which we know, the Mugravi Gate, And they were able to go down and see the coast of Maravi, which was an awesome experience, as I'm sure you can tell. That's the story that he told on Shabbos to my family. When I was talking to his sons and the Shiva, they said when he came back to the Mir, he went to Reb Chaim and he said to him, you know, number one, I went to the coast of Arabi, and number two, I am concerned that I might have been overcouraged because I was on the Harabites. I didn't realize it, and what do I do? So, and this is the part that blew me away, with regards to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim was not upset at him for going on the Harabites. What was he upset at him for? He said, you went to the coast of Arabi, just stam. You didn't spend time preparing for it and learning up the sugis and getting ready to go there. You just don't stam walk to the coast of Arabi and show up there. So that's that part of the story. For those of you who were at the Levaya, they spoke about this fantastic zman that Rabbi Chil had in the Mir Yeshiva, the winter zman after the Six-Day War. It was the Yavamis man. It was apparently his misat that he really felt like he got, because Reb Chaim had said to him, as a kapara for having done what you did in the context of the Harabayas, which you think was a problem with that, Sarah, you do not leave the Beis Medrash from the morning until after midnight every night of the Zman. And kachava, he spent that entire Zman learning Yavamis. That was Rabbi Chil. I know in my family, we considered him family. He came to Simchas, he walked to Simchas, he came all the time. Yehi Zichro Baruch. Final speaker this evening is Rav Moshe David May, who's Rosh Kol of Beis Tefillin.
Of the others, Chayis Alev Mitzrayim, and the Mashkoif, which is the top of the doors, the doorpost, was Kneged Avram, and the Shtei Mezuzos, Yitzchok and Yaakov, the Chloner, the Sefer Chumash, says we know that each of the others was Mitztayim, and the Gvisa Midah. Mida Yaakov represents the Muda Torah. Yaakov Yishtam Yoshev Aholim is what the Torah describes. We know about Yitzchak. Yitzchak was on the Akedah as a korban, and he represents the Muda of Avoda. So one Amud and one doorpost is Abraham is Yitzchak, the Muda of Avoda. And the other doorpost is the Amud of Yitz, of Yaakov Avin, and the Amud of Torah. It says the Aruch Haner, but they both lean and are supported by the Mashkoif. And the Mashkoif represents Avraham, that's the Amud of Chesed. It says the Aruch Haner, Torah and Avod are measured as much as they're held up and supported by the Amud of Chesed. The Gemara tells us, Misach Tesaita, Torah is Tchilasai Chesed, and Torah is Saifai Chesed. Chazal bring a Lashon, Torah is Tchila Chesed, And Torah is Seifa Chesed. And Torah is Emsa Chesed. The Emsa of the Torah is also Chesed. Torah is Tchilat Chesed, Chazal tell us. Kadosh Baruch Hu took clothing and covered Adam. Seif HaTorah HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Koyve Moshe Rabbeinu, the Seifa Chesed. What is the Emsa Chesed? Ben Ephraim Mechumash brings a medrash, the Emsa of the Torah, the middle of the Torah, is the Gimel of the Yizgalach, Yizgalach. And in the words, Dorash, Dorash Moshe, are the two Emsa of the Torah, the Gimel of Yizgalach, and Dorash, Dorash Moshe, Gimel Dalet, the Gemara tells of the Masech Shabbos, represents Goimel Chasodim. His Torah is Tchilosei Chesed and Soifei Chesed. The lave of the Torah is Chesed. It's really, as mentioned before, the Steinus of the Michel Zechayn Levach in Chesed, the Gadlus of Chesed, the Avas Chesed that he had was Lamaywa, Lamaywa. Above the normal of the Milas Chasodim, the Mesiris Nefesh that he had for people, the hours that he spent with people, with the Gadlus and the Goyness and Chesed. We were neighbors for a very, very long time. Tavshin and Hay became neighbors. But neighbors, you don't always see. Maybe once a year, some neighbors you see, maybe less. Michal was a neighbor who for over 20 years I spent 2.5 hours every afternoon in the same Dalet Amos. We learned at the same table for over 20 years, the Kriyas, 2.5 hours a day. And never once was there a time that I heard him raise his voice, unless I was in learning. There was never a time that I saw him upset or angry, or just not with the normal menuchas hanefesh and simcha and yishev hadas that he had. Now tell us Esther. Esther was someone who everybody thought that she belonged to them. The Meral explains that Esther had a midah of chayn. Like the Pasuk says, when someone has chayn, so everybody thinks that they're related and they see with them something that they have in common or something that they share. But Michal had that chayn. He was able to relate to every single person on the level, whether it was from the Misnagdim to Hasidim to Litvish, to American, to Yeshivish. Everybody related to him and he was able to relate to others. V'lanova mi'iten chayn, as was mentioned, his extreme, extreme anova and pashtus shined within him that gevaldige chut shel chayn. Every year before Pesach, people, batei midrashim, save their shemus. Shuls could have boxes and boxes of shemus. People could have boxes and boxes of shemus. One of the activities that Reb Michal had in the jail was at Nisan time. He had the people in the jail dig. They had yards, and they dig. They dug. What did they dig for? They dig to help out all the shuls to bury the Sheamus Kailocha. Who bought those boxes and who schlepped those boxes? The Einai Ruizi, the Michal schlepping boxes from shuls, putting in his little car and piling up as much as possible. That was the Anova, that was the Pashtus. It was supposed to be done. And it didn't matter how it was done with the Pashtus, with the devotion, with the Mesiris. Chazal tell us, Yisrael v'raisa chodo, Torah and Klal Yisrael is one. Rav Michal, Zichrono Levracha, from all the things that were mentioned, spending time with him on a day-to-day basis, had within him a burning Ahavas HaTorah. An Ahavas HaTorah not for himself, not for his chidushim, just for the Torah. Baruch Be'er, Reuven Bing said, that Baruch Be'er used to say, Torah has lib. Someone who doesn't have lib anything else except the Torah. Rav Michal's Ava was Ava called Kulei for Torah. Many times he would come Sunday. He'd come and he would come sometime before Seder and he'd write. Writing. What was he writing? Sometimes it was his own. Many times he would say, I was Shabbos over here, and he heard a Moedik Adrosha or a Moedik Adrosha, and he'd write it over. He was besimcha with someone else's Torah as he was with his own Chidushim. It wasn't the Ava of himself. My Shtikl or my Chidush was Ava's with the Torah. Every single shir that he heard in the Kailam, he would go over it with his chavrusa, understand it, mevatel himself because of that gvaldig Ahavas HaTorah. Yeah, many people who are mashpiyim in Torah, they're mashpiyim, they're magadishurim, and you have people who are mekablim, tamidim, people who like only to listen and to hear. Michal had both qualities. He was a gevaldige mekabel, and he was a moyudike mashpia. He would learn with people, very, very simple, plain people much below his level. Because of his Ahavas HaTorah, which the deity is synonymous with his Ahavas Yisrael. If a Raisa be Yisrael Chadu, so someone who really loves the Torah, not for himself, because he has love for the Torah, which is synonymous with the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he has a true Ahavas Yisrael. His Chesed was Torah Aschayim and Ahavas Chesed. They went together by Yom Michal. It was a Torah Aschayim together with an Ahavas Chesed. And from there, he accomplished a Tchivosei Chesed, and a Soife Chesed, and a Emsa Chesed. The Pasuk ends off, Vigatem ala mashkoif, v'ashtei amezuzois, and you should take an Agudas Ezoif. The Ritfon is, Haggadosh HaPesach says, Vigatem ala mashkoif, eilu shtei amezuzois, mashkoif ze Avram, shtei mezuzois, eil Yitzchot v'yakev, omal Agudas Ezoif. Afa pish, shahoyu Yisrael shfolim, Kalmokim Aguda Achas Hoyu Reyim the Chaverim Biyachad Lafikach Nitzoylu Chain Hoyu Bahem Reyach Toya Roy Shvolim Blainogu Gasis Ruach. who can meet and have a negiah to the others, to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, to those amudim of Torah and Chesed, and Torah and Avodah, with an agudas ezoi, with an aguda achas of reyim v'chaverim. How does one have reyim v'chaverim, says the Ritva? Sheyesh b'am reyach Torah v'hoyishvolim. This is what Renichel was. He was had a reyach of Torah. He knew what was right and what was yashus. Ashmet that he got from Yavoisov, that he was coined in the mir, that he was coined in Barib Yitzchak, so Zayin is of Mishtar, a reyach of Torah that he was able to be mashpul himself and to make himself a chelek of an aguda achas, reyim v'chareyim zel lezeh. We all could learn up and aspire to have those midas of Torah's chayim v'abas chesed, to be zoicha, to anova, to shvola, to kirin, because of Abbas Yisrael and that Abbas Atzmoy, and with this, a schus for his neshama, and if Klai Yisrael is taka, mischazek in aguda achas, in reya achas, then when there's reyes and Abba and Klai Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's a simon, that it can be master shechina b'soichon. As I'll say, in the Zoya HaKadosh, echod, shaya be'echod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, and he showed you his shechina when there's one in Klal Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, that from this Gvaldi Yishayna Naimi, L'chvoidoi, that it should be a Gvaldi Yiloi for his neshama, and it should be a chizuk, whoever had a shaykhis, to a michel, to be misboinen in his drachav, and be ma'ala ourselves to a high level of Torah and Yerushamayim, Yehei Zichrei Baruch.